السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله يا شيخ.
نبدأ.
نعم يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، أربك الأدب المفرد was compiled by Imam Bukhari رحمه الله أبو عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل. We are very concerned with a prominent book as Sahih that is generally called Sahih al-Bukhari. We repeatedly remind us that Sahih al-Bukhari has the chapter Kitab al-Adab, the chapter about the issues of manners and conduct. But here in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he compiled specifically narrations from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that are called marfu'at. He also added mawqufat, narrations from the companions radiallahu anhu. And then he has maqtu'at, narrations from the tabi'un and those who below them from amongst the early Muslims into a whole book that he has titled Kitab al-Adab. However, because this is a book specifically separate from the chapter about al-Adab in Sahih al-Bukhari, that was why it was called Al-Adab al-Mufrad, a book separately compiled apart from the other one, Kitab al-Adab in Sahih al-Bukhari. That is what we have as Al-Adab al-Mufrad, a book separately compiled regarding Al-Adab, the conduct, the lines of conduct of a Muslim. Of course, learning from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions. We had read chapters. The last chapter we read was Babul Bab, chapter about the meaning, the evil repercussions of oppression and aggression, the meaning, the evil repercussions of al-Baghyu, oppression, aggression, usurping the rights of people. Today, inshallah, we shall be coming to Babu Qabul al-Hadiyya. Babu Qabul al-Hadiyya, the chapter about accepting gifts, the chapter about accepting gifts, accepting hadiyya, accepting gifts from one another. What are the benefits that giving gifts and accepting gifts from ourselves, what are the benefits they will bring to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Imam al-Bukhari started that chapter with a hadith that coincides with the number 594. Reading from Hadith 594, where Imam Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Amr ibn Khalid, Qala Haddathana Imam Ismail, Qala Sami'tu Musa, Awaradan, An Abi Hurairah, Radiallahu anhu, An Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, reports this hadith from his Shaykh Amr ibn Khalid, and the kunya of Amr ibn Khalid is Abu al-Hasan. So Amr ibn Khalid, teachers of al-Bukhari, from whom specifically he has reported this hadith, he is Amr ibn Khalid, Abu Hassan or Abu Hassan al-Tamimi, rahimahullah. He has reported from Imam Ismail, Imam Ibn Ismail, Amr ibn Khalid said, حدثنا Imam Ibn Ismail. Imam Ibn Ismail, he is Abu Ismail al-Misri. Imam Ibn Ismail, he is Abu Ismail al-Misri, rahimahullah. He said, سمعت موسى ابن وردة. I heard موسى, the son of الورد, or the son of وردان. That is from the scholars of Egypt. موسى ابن وردان, أبو عمر المصري. موسى ابن وردان was well known amongst the Tabi'un. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi said, Kana sahiba mali wa tijaratin. Musa ibn Wardan was well known from amongst the people of Khufu's world. He was known with business, businessman, Musa ibn Wardan. And Othilan, well known, very honorable amongst people. Rahimahullah Abu Omar al Misri. He was a student of a number of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like Abu Sa'd Ash'ari, like Anas Malik. And here he is reporting from Abu Huraira. His business did not stop him from Islam. كان صاحب مال وتجارة وكان من طلاب أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه ومن قد ذكرنا أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ورضي الله عنه. موسى بن وردان was a student of Abu Huraira, was a student of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, was a student of Anas ibn Malik. Despite being a well-known person of business and profuse wealth, he reported from Abu Huraira here, radiallahu anhu, who is reporting from the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, tahadu tahabu. Tahadu, this expression, tahadu, comes from that word, tahada, that is the verb. This is tahada, the verb from tahada, yani ahada, ba'duhum ila ba'd. When two groups of people or two individuals, when they give themselves gifts, this one gives a gift. This one is accepting this time at the other time. The other one is the one giving. The one who accepted the first time is the one giving. And the one who had given the first time would be the one that is receiving. It's not as if just one person is giving. Just one person is giving. At one point in time, the one who gave was in the position of receiving. Another point in time, the one who gave this time, the one who received this time, was in the situation of accepting. Like a hadith we had read earlier in the book, that's hadith 215, where the Prophet said, صلى الله عليه وسلم موصول صنع من معروف فليجزئه whoever to whom less was done فليجزئه let him find a means to pay back let him find a way of showing goodness for goodness the prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فإن لم تجد ما تجزئه If he does not find something to pay back that goodness, that ma'ruf, that kind treatment that he got for the first time, he was supposed to also show something in return. He is not able to do that. Let him speak well of the person who had done that to him. Because the Prophet said, alayhi salam wa salam, إِنَّهُ مِنَا أَثْنَى فَقَدْ شَكَارُهُ If he praises the person, oh my brother, I thank you for the goodness. Oh, I enjoyed what you did. Oh, we appreciate. Oh, we are happy. Oh, we show gratitude. Oh, we really like it. All of these kinds of good statements of encouragement. To the same who had done it to us. Fakod Shakar, if he did that, Fakod Shakar, he has certainly expressed gratitude. In Katamahu Fakod Shakar, but if he kept it hiding, the good that was shown to him, Fakod Shakar, he has shown ingratitude. And this is common with a lot of people. May Almighty Allah protect us. This is showing the point here is that Mansuni Abine Ma'ruf and Faliq Zikuku, whoever kindness was extended towards, whoever enjoys goodness from someone, you should repay its goodness. You should pay back kindness for kindness. You should pay back gift for gift. That is why in this hadith here it comes as Tahaatu. Here it is commanding us to be like that. Exchange it amongst yourselves. Give yourself gifts. Give yourself gifts. Unfortunately, when these kinds of matters are discussed, our minds go to money, but it's not just about money. I remember that when we were younger than this, our own parents, when they cooked food, even if it be a part of it, just a piece of fish or a piece of meat, they sent to their friends in the neighborhood. Ah, I cooked this food. I like you to taste from it. The other one too will say, oh, I cooked with a leaf today. Take a piece of it. And things like this, it was a common thing we experienced when we grew up. Even though today the Muslim home is so nuclear, and permit me to say, many of the Muslims are self-centered now. We are most concerned about ourselves. Yes, that's good. But here we are encouraged to give ourselves gifts. Give yourselves gifts. So while it encourages giving gifts, it also encourages that those we give gifts to should give us gifts. It is not just a one-way thing. Let it be two ways. If the other person does not have something physical to give, let him say good words. Praise those who have given. Appreciate what they have given. Say kind words to them. In another report, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the one who receives that good, he should make dua, alayhi salatu wasalam. He should make dua, he should make dua. He says, فَإِلَّمْ تَجِدُ فَدْعُ لَهُ حَتَّى يَعْلَمَ أَنَّهُ فَدْكَ فَأْتُمُوهُ Make dua for him. make dua for. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you. May Allah increase you in favors. May Allah grant you his blessing. May Allah raise your ranks. May Allah pray for him hatta until he has a sense of a feeling that far to know that you have actually returned goodness for goodness. So the first point of benefit in this hadith is that, yes, it commands giving gifts. It also commands returning goodness, forgiveness, for goodness. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, tahadu, give yourselves gifts. Exchange gifts amongst yourself, brothers. Exchange gifts amongst yourselves, sisters. There's a hadith we shall come across here in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, by Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. One of those who lived with Aisha, radiallahu anha, was Aisha bint Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Remember Talha to ibn Ubaidillah. He married Aisha. That Aisha was the daughter of Kulthum, the younger sister of Aisha, who was born after the death of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. We remember that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, about 6-7 months after he passed away, the girl was born. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq had passed away while his wife was pregnant of that young girl. The girl was born. She was named Kulthum. And she subsequently lived under our mother Aisha. She was the one that Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to marry, Kulthum. Now this Kulthum became married to Talha. He had a daughter. You can see how easy and quickly he got married. Kulthum had a daughter called Aisha. Her name was Aisha bint Talha ibn Ubaidillah. The scholars say here min ajmali khalqillah. She was from the most beautiful of the creatures of Allah. Let me pick that again. Aisha radiallahu anha had a younger sister, Kulthum. Kulthum had a daughter called Aisha. Aisha radiallahu anha had a younger sister, Kulthum. Kulthum was married to Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Talha ibn Ubaidillah and Kulthum being to Abi Bakr al-Siddiq gave birth to a girl. Her name is Aisha. She's the one we are talking about. She has the report in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. فَكَانَتْ مِنْ أَجْمَلِ خَلْكِ اللَّهِ. She was very, very beautiful. وَكَانَتْ ذَكِيَّةً صَالِحَةً دَيِّنَةً, like the scholars called her. She was a very righteous person who was conscious and devoted to Islam. So the people used to write her letters. The hadith occurs in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. She will be written a letter and they will send gifts to her while she was still in the house of Aisha. She had not married at it. But because people respected her intelligence, her brilliance, her righteousness, they sent her gifts and they knew her father, her mother, and her grandfather. So for the love of her parents, for the love of the person she was staying with, and for the love of her own brilliance and beauty and exceptional qualities, they used to send her gifts. So our mother Aisha radiallahu anha used to tell her, any person who sends gifts to you, tell me if you don't have a gift to send back. I will give you a gift so that you can return gift for gift. So she used to receive gifts and she used to send gifts back to those who had sent her gifts. This is our point of reference for that affair. That yes, the Prophet said it, alayhi salatu wasalam, and the companions, radiallahu anhum, were upon it. So when he says, tahadu, exchange gifts amongst yourselves, it can be brothers amongst themselves. It can be brothers, sisters amongst themselves. It can be across the borders. Just make sure that your intentions are clear and sincere. For the sake of Allah, you know, Sister Hadu, give yourself gifts. Tahabu, you will love yourselves. Tahadu, give yourselves gifts. Tahabu, you will love yourselves. So if you have a community where people usually quarrel, brothers, one of the ways to solve that problem is mutual exchange of gifts, mutual exchange of goodness. Exchange food. Send food from one house to the other. Send money from one house to the other. Send foodstuffs from one house to the other. Send clothes. Send caps. Send shoes. Send greetings. Go and tell so and so person that I am fine, and I ask you to ask how they are in their house. Are they fine too? We used to be sent messages like this. Go to so-so place. Go and ask for so-and-so. It's been a while since we heard from them. Are they doing well? Of course, then, when we grew up, there were no phones. There were no text messages, no WhatsApp calls. But beyond that, beyond text messages, beyond WhatsApp calls, exchange kindness amongst yourselves. Do to them goodness. And of course, wait to accept goodness done to you. Because some of the people are so proud. Wallahi, some of our brothers, sisters, ummahat, people are proud. When you send kindness to them, they hold back from returning kindness from kindness. They feel too big to receive kindness from others, while they feel proud to extend kindness to others. They feel proud to receive kindness from others. This is not proper. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tahadu, exchange goods, exchange goodness, exchange gifts amongst yourselves. Tahabu. If you do that, you will love yourselves. So one of the things exchange of gifts does is that it soon makes the two parties in this to love one another. Of course, if they love one another, it will be easy for them to be brothers upon goodness. They can serve Allah together. They protect themselves against evil. They protect themselves against backbiting, slandering, and all this. May Allah protect each and every one of us. I think that hadith is very clear. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us in a hadith collected from him by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He commanded us and said, Tahadu, tahabu, exchange gifts amongst yourselves. You will love yourselves. The next hadith in the chapter, 505, means Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, haddathana Musa, قال حدثنا سليمان بن المغيرة عن ثابت قال كان أنس يقول يا بني تبادلوا بينكم يا بني تبادلوا بينكم فإنه أود لما بينكم تبادلوا بينكم فإنه أود لما بينكم. This hadith الإمام البخاري reports it from his shaykh Musa ibn Ismail at-Tabuzaki rahimahullah. He said, حدثنا سليمان ibn المغيرة, that is Abu Sa'id rahimahullah al-Qaisi, Abu Sa'id al-Qaisi, that is Suleiman ibn المغيرة. He is reporting from one of the closest human beings to Anas ibn Malik from amongst his students. That was Thabit al-Bunani. Thabitun al-Bunani. رضي الله عنه. He was from amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم ورضي الله عنه. We remember that when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made Hijrah, his mother Umm Sulaym رضي الله عنها took young Anas, who was just above 9 at the time, going to reach 10 years of age. His mother brought him to the Prophet Muhammad. In fact, his story is the story of a righteous mother growing up a righteous child. A righteous mother growing up a righteous child. Of course, in the absence of his father had left Medina when the Prophet made Hijrah to Medina. His complaint was that this religion will prohibit us from drinking alcohol. So he left for Sham. He died in Sham. So Anas ibn Malik was raised by his mother, Umm Sulaym, radiallahu anha. So for all that Umm Sulaym will seek for Anas, it was about righteousness. So when the Prophet came, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she thought that it was an opportunity for her to connect her son to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So she asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to kindly have Anas run his errands. Look at this woman. She gave Anas to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let this boy run your errands. So we have a hadith where the Prophet would send Anas alayhi salatu wasalam, radiallahu anhu. The messenger would send Anas on errands, and the mother would meet Anas on the road. Where are you going? I'm going on an errand for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. She was happy, because nothing will come out of that, oh brothers. Nothing will come out of that, oh women, except goodness, except righteousness. And that was why, before the verses of hijab were revealed around the 7th year of Hijrah, for the first 6-7 years, Anas entered everywhere in the house of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. You would calculate that he would have started becoming 15, 16. That is the age young boys become bad. The teenage age, he spent it with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, running the errands, going forth and backwards inside the righteous home of the messenger alayhi salam. One day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited their home. His mother, Muslim, her own sister, his maternal aunt, were in the house, and then Umm Sulaym made the food, entertained the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet had a history of observing a nafila inside their house after partaking in that meal. So in that meal, after the meal, the Prophet observed nafila alayhi salatu wasalam in their house. When he was set to leave, the mother of Anas did it all again. She said, Ya Rasulallah, huwaidimuka, your little young service boy, make dua for him. You see this woman, she was paving the way for her son upon righteousness. So she obtained a well-deserved dua for the boy. The boy might not have said, Prophet, pray for me. But for all the goodness she was extending to the Prophet, she was pushing her son. He was moving the boy. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made that dua for Anas ibn Malik, the dua of life and hereafter. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma akthir malahu wa waladahu wa la akthir malahu. That is for the reason most people want their children to go away from righteousness. They think that once their children are righteous, they will not make money. Hear it from the messenger class. Oh Allah, increase, make proof of the wealth that you will give. Allahumma akir ma'lahu, the wealth of Anas, make it kathir, akthir, make profus, the wealth you will grant Anas. This boy was still a teenager getting this from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me fast forward. Anas said, from the people of Medina, I don't know anybody as rich as I am. Fast forward it. When the boy started to see grace, started to see favors, started to see wealth, he said, Medina, I don't know anybody who has the kind of wealth that I have. He has a plant that he grows. That plant in some farms, he grows only once per year. In the farm of Anas, it grows twice. And they make a lot of money from it. Anas ibn Malik, Abu Hamza, Al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. The Prophet said, the first dua, Allahumma akfir ma'lahu. O Allah, grant Anas Rufus wealth. Wa waladahu. The second one is our children. Grant him a lot of children. The first point of benefit here, O brothers and sisters, is that from the blessings of Allah upon his servant, is that Allah has granted him a lot of children. If it is not that, the Prophet will not be asking Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to bless Anas ibn Malik with a lot of children. Before Anas passed away, his own children and his grandchildren have gone past 120. Before Anas died, his own children and grandchildren, they have gone past 120. Radiallahu anhum. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa adkhilhu al-jannah. Enter him into al-jannah. There is a third dua before this. He also prayed for his umr. Wa barik lahu fi umrihi. Bless his life. Allahumma akthir malahu wa waladahu wa barik lahu fi umrihi wa adkhilhu al-jannah. Four. Grant him profuse wealth. Grant him a lot of children. Give him long life that is full of blessings. Anas lived for long. He was the last companion to die in Basra. He lived for well over 110 years, or 110 or 120. He lived long. Anas lived long. And then Anas used to say, I am waiting for the fourth one. I hope that Allah will accept that dua. وَأَدْخِلْهُ الْجَنَّةِ, make him to enter al-Jannah. So his service to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a thing of benefit for him in this world and in the hereafter. But who bought it for him? His mother. That's why I usually say it is difficult to find a righteous person that does not have a righteous mother. Righteous mothers have it all for their children. Yes, men have roles. Usually when we say things like this, people, instead of thinking inward and looking at how to adjust, that, what about the men? What about the men? That one does not make people listen attentively. We are talking about your own role. You say, what about the other man? It's like a man violates a traffic rule. And he was asked, why did you violate traffic rule? Why did you go on the BRT lane as the people in Lagos would say? He said, no, the other bus too went through. Is that a reason why you should not adjust your own? Men have roles too, definitely. But wallahi, the biggest role is with the women. If the women in the house are not righteous, the children will hardly be righteous. Please underline my expressions properly and convey them properly. If the women in the home are not righteous, the children in the home will hardly be righteous. If the women in the home are not righteous, the children in the home will hardly be righteous. If the women in the home are not righteous, the children in the home will hardly be righteous. So the point we like to borrow from all of these reports about Anas was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed Allah that Allah should give Anas a lot of children. وَأَكْثِرْ مَا لَهُ وَوَلَدَهُ, a lot of children. These children, as many as he gave, Anas had an advice for them. He would say, Ya Baniya, O my children, Tabadhalu Bainakum, you all, Tabadhalu, Bathlu, is giving, mutually give amongst yourselves. Tabadhalu Bainakum, give amongst yourselves, give, give, give. فَإِنَّهُ أَوَدُّ لِمَا بَيْنَكُمْ, because mutually giving, التَّبَادُلُ, exchanging the giving amongst you, he said, رضي الله عنه, فَإِنَّهُ أَوَدُّ لِمَا بَيْنَكُمْ, it will best strengthen that in between you. What is it that is in between them? صِلَةُ الرَّحِيمِ. فَإِنَّهُ أَوَدُّ, it is most beloved, it is most connecting, it was most strengthening for that is in between the two of you, or the two, or the groups of you. What is that thing? That's Rahim. فَإِنَّهُ أَوَدُّ لِمَا بَيْنَكُمْ, it will help strengthen. It is the most helping, single helping thing that will make you people love one another and connect amongst yourselves. And as Ibn Malik said, radiallahu anhu, tabadhalu bainakum, exchange the act of giving, the act of giving amongst yourself. Give yourselves. So this means that even among siblings, parents can encourage their siblings to give themselves gifts. The elder sister gives a gift to the younger sister. The elder sister gives a gift to the younger brother. The younger brother gives the gift to his younger brother. The other younger brother gives another gift to the elder brother. The elder brother gives a gift to the, like this. Children should be grown up like this. I have not heard this lesson in all the lectures we have been delivering about child upbringing. I have listened to a number. I gave one of our brothers, Sheikh Murtada, he gave one. One of our brothers, Sheikh Abu Ahmed, he gave one. Another brother gave one. I've listened to about five of us giving lectures on children. I have not heard one person might have mentioned it, but I have not heard, and I've listened to a number of them. Somebody encouraging us to teach our children to grow up on giving themselves gifts. It is very important. Here we are, Anas, bringing down that lesson from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lesson to them. Perhaps he heard it also as a young boy with the Prophet alaihi wasallam. He domiciled that lesson inside his house with his children. He says, Ya Baniya, Tabadhalu Bainakum, exchange giving, give yourselves, give amongst yourselves. فَإِنَّهُ أَوَدُّ لِمَا بَيْنَكُمْ, because that is most strengthening for that which is in between you. That is, it is most strengthening for your relationships. One thing that will help your relationships is that you mutually exchange gifts. In this hadith is clear. The Prophet told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that when we give gifts, we will love ourselves. Anas radiallahu anhu also told that to his children, he encouraged them to give gifts so that their relationship, the strength of it, will be helped by their giving gifts. I think we can quickly look at the next hadith. The next chapter, inshallah, it is a compliment for this that we have read. That one occurs under Babu Man Lam Yakbal Al Hadiya Lamma Dakhal Al Bughd Fi Nas. The chapter about the one who would reject Lam Yakbal Al Hadiya, who would not accept a gift. Why? Why am I not accepting the gift? Lamma Dakhal Al Bughd Fi Nas, because Bughd, hatred, began to creep in amongst the people. That is, those gifts began to have things behind them that are not appropriate. Intentions, inappropriate intentions began to come in into the gifts. Like the one who gives a sister a gift with the intention of inviting her for evil. You see, the intention is bad. So if the sister notices it, he can stop, she can reject the gift. So he will not now say, yeah, but the Prophet said that alayhi salatu wasalam, tahadu tahabu. Intentions behind gifts become bad. Sometimes men too, a brother can give you a gift. The intention is that you become weak towards him and then he can manipulate you. If it comes like that, reject the gift. That is al-bughd. Al-bughd was just mentioned as one of those things that can make us avoid evil. Some gifts can be dirty because we can understand the motives behind them, that they are ill and evil. So when we know that, such gifts may be declined. This is what we are talking about in this chapter, and that comes under Hadith 596 in this book, Al-Adab ibn Mufrad. الإمام البخاري سيد رحمه الله حدثنا أحمد بن خالد قال حدثنا محمد بن إسحاق عن سعيد بن أبي سعيد عن أبيه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله قال أهدى رجل بني حزارة للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ناقة فأوضه فتسخطه فسمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم على المنبر يقول يهدي أحدكم فأعوذه بقدر ما عندي ثم يسخط ويم الله لا أقبل بعد عام هذا من الأرض هدية إلا من قرشي أو أنصاري أو ثقفي أو دوسي. الإمام البخاري reported that from his شيخ أحمد بن خالد أبو سعيد رحمه الله, who reported from his شيخ, that well-known Imam محمد بن إسحاق. He was reporting from سعيد ابن أبي سعيد المقبري. سعيد ابن أبي سعيد المقبري, well-known شيخ. He was from the scholars of Medina, and he was known for one thing. He was called Al-Makburi because he took residence at the gatehouse of a Makbara. That was why he used to be called Al-Makburi. Sa'id ibn Abi Sa'id. But his own kunya was Abu Sa'd. So he is Abu Sa'd Sa'id. Abu Sa'd Sa'id. Now, his own father was Abu Sa'id. The name of his father, Abu Sa'id, was Kaysan. The name of Abu Sa'id al-Makburi. So we have Abu Sa'd, Sa'id, Ibn Abi Sa'id al-Makburi. We also have Abu Sa'id, his own father. So his own father was Abu Sa'id al-Makburi. Abu Sa'id al-Makburi, Kaysan. That is the name of the father of Sa'id ibn Abi Sa'id. Both Sa'id ibn Abi Sa'id and Kaysan, his father Abu Sa'id, were students of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu. Both father and son were students of that eminent, learned companion of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Huraira, Abdul Rahman ibn Sakh. Abu Huraira said, Ahada rajulun min bani أزار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ناقة. A man from Banu Bazar gave a gift of a camel to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet.
Yeah, don't forget. What he cannot accept, I was sadaqah. So there is a difference between the two. Sadaqah, you give it to someone who is poor or in need. You saw that he has a need or she has a need, you give it to them. For hadaya, I like a cup. And I have a brother I know who likes the cup. So I bought the cup, I gave it to him. He likes it. That is a gift. He's not per se in need of it. I just gave him a gift because of that first hadith we read from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's tahadu tahabu. I gave him. I want us to love ourselves, mutually help ourselves upon goodness. So that was the intention. So here it would appear as if that man also was sincere. So see what happened. That man gave a gift of a camel to the Prophet. It means the gift you can give may be small, it may be big. A brother can give a gift of a car to his brother. It doesn't mean anything. Can give him a gift of a car, can give him a gift of a house. In the time of the Prophet, giving a man a gift of a camel is like giving a man a gift of a car, giving a man a gift of a camel. It's like giving a man a gift of a car in our own times. May Allah protect us. But this man gave a gift of a camel to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned that gift with a similar gift. In a report in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, I like us to go back to Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Hadith 3091. I like us to go to Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Hadith 3091. Many of our brothers like that I give references like this so that they can go back to it. Hadith 3091. It appears that it is also talking about this report. Unfortunately, that hadith too in At-Tirmidhi was also reported by Abu Huraira. The return gift that the Prophet gave to him was Dakarat, Sitta Dakarat. There it says, Anna Arabiyan Ahada li Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Dakaratan. He gave a gift of a young camel to the Prophet. فَعَوَضَهُ مِنْهَا سِتَّ بَقْرَاتِ. So it's possible that it is this report, that the Prophet returned سِتَّ بَقْرَاتِ, six young camels, as a return gift to the man. فَتَسَخَّطَهَا. So the man felt insulted. فَسَخَّطَهُ يعني استقلها. He considered it small. How you give me that camel? He gave the Prophet a camel in our own report in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a report, return gift. It is possible that it is this story or another story. But in the one we just referred to in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the Prophet returned with small alayhi salatu salam, very little young ones of camels. How many? Six. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. فَتَسَخَّطَهُ يعني استقلَّ الْعَطَى. The man considered it small and then he hated it. He hated, like, how you give me this kind of gifts? Was this? Because he was expecting something bigger than that. He thought that if he gave Prophet something, alayhi salatu wa sallam, what he will get back will be bigger than what the Prophet gave him. And Allah has prohibited us from that. He said, وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَقْفِيُ. Don't be anticipating to get more. If you give a gift, you give somebody a gift of a bottle of water, you're expecting that, don't worry, Today he will give me, he gives that. He can give me part of what. Don't be like this. Don't be like this. This is not lawful. When you buy a gift of 10,000 naira, you expect that, don't worry. The day you give me the gift back, you give me a gift of 100,000. Don't be like this. Because if he now gives you a gift of 1,000, what happened to this Bedouin, this man from Banu Fazara, regarding the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, will happen to you? So this man, he considered the gift of the Prophet to him as small, and so he hated it, because he was expecting something bigger than what the Prophet gave. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira said, فَسَمِيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى الْمِنْبَرِ يَقُولُ. Subsequently, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying upon the minbar. He climbed his pulpit and he was saying in his sermon, يَهْدِي أَحَدُكُمْ, one of you or some of you, one of you will give a gift, فَأُعَوِّدُهُ بِقَدْرِ مَا عِنْدِي. One of you will give me a gift, I will give him the reward, I will return the gift to him, just with the size or the extent of what I have. And then he goes on to hate and disparage what I have given, meaning that we all should take the lesson. If you give somebody a gift and they return with something smaller than what you have given, do not hate or despise or become disgusted with what you have given, thinking that, why can I give something? Look at what you are giving. Is that the like of what you are giving? What you should look at rather is the mindset of the giving person to you. He had given you just what he is able to at that time that he was going to exchange that gift. So the Prophet went on the minbar, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make us understand that it's a serious matter. He went on the minbar, he gave a sermon saying that, Yahadi ahadukum fa'u'awwidu, one of you would give a gift and I would return the gift because rima indi, just by the size or the like of what I have. Thumma yaskhatuhu, and then he begins to despise, thinking small of what I have given. Waymullah. Waym is from the alfaz of al-qasam, just like we say wallahi or Allahi, or Billahi, Waymullahi. The Prophet said, I swear by Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la aqbalu ba'da aami hada min al-arubi hadiyatan. After this year, I will never accept any gift from the Arab, the Bedouins, the Arab tribe. If you give me a gift, I will not accept. Illa min Qurashiyin, except from someone who is from Quraysh. Why? We'll come back to it. Al Ansari, or someone from Ansar, the people of Medina. Al Thaqifiyin, or someone, Al Thaqafiyin, or from someone from Banu Thaqif. That is the tribe of the people of Taif. Al Dawsiyin, or someone from the one of the tribes in Yemen. That is the tribe of Abu Huraira radiallahu. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an exception regarding these tribes because they are already civilized as far as Islam is concerned. Yeah, he has good impressions of them, that these people, they will not be giving me something expecting more
In fact, if I give them a toothpick, they will appreciate it. So because he noted that these people, these tribes that he exempted, he would appreciate whatever he gave in return for their gifts. So if he took a gift from them, whatever he gave them, they would not behave like the other man. So this means that if you know that there are people who, when you give a gift, they scorn the gift, they look down upon the gift. Now, what is this? Even a piece of pencil was a gift. I remember 1 year we finished Hajj. That was around 2015. We finished Hajj. We were returning to Medina that year. We started from Jeddah. We made Hajj. And after Hajj, we were returning to Medina. Maybe the brother with whom this happened amongst us may be listening to this class. So that brother, I bought seven of that time. Those drinks were sold for 1 riyal. They are sold for 2.5 riyals now. So that time it was just 1 riyal. So I purchased two for myself because the journey to Medina was still long and the bus may not stop again. So I felt, and you know, it was after Hajj, we needed to hydrate and we needed sugar. So I was buying seven up. So I took one. When I saw him, this brother is a very nice brother, very kind. By the standards of our country, he is very rich. By the standards of anywhere, he is very rich. So when I saw him, I went to him and said, "You are not buying anything." He said, "He does not feel like buying anything." I said, "Can you have this 7-Up? Wallahi, he quickly took the 7-Up from me. 7-Up is 1 riyal, 1 riyal, 1 riyal. He quickly took it from me and he opened it right in front of me and he took the 7-Up. I was glad we went into the bus and the matter ended. When we came back to Nigeria, he called me on the phone. He said, "Why did you give me that 7-Up? I said, "Well, I bought it for myself. But when I saw that you were not buying anything, I think it was good for you to buy something. We just finished Hajj. We were all exhausted. So I felt, let me share my own with you." The brother said that was the first time he was receiving gifts, that people usually take gifts from him, but they don't think of giving him too. That the minds like to take too. I also like people to think of me and give me something, but they don't think of giving me. All they want is taking from me. I said, "But this is just 1 riyal." I said, "I have 1 riyal that day, but what I accepted it for was because the mindset with which you gave. You just saw me. Ah, you are not buying anything. Take this one." So everybody likes to give. Everybody likes to take. So brothers, let us give mutually. Don't say it is small. By his own standard, 1 riyal. How could I have given such a person a gift of 1 riyal? 1 riyal, 7-Up at that time. So if we know that people will scorn the gift, you may hold back your gift. Or that if they give you and you give them something back, they will scorn it. Like Yorubas will say, "Emisie, you was see me. You know, you was see me. You, who are you that you want to give me? You need it, are you?" So there's some sort of arrogance in that. If you know a person may be like this, then his own gift too does not deserve to be accepted. If a person will be like that, then his own gift too does not deserve to be accepted. So the lacuna, as they say, to giving gifts and accepting gifts is that everybody should be willing to give, everybody should be willing to accept. No one should scorn the gift of the next person, and everyone should be clear, you should be sincere. When you give a gift, you are giving it for the sake of Allah. And as we have replied, mentioned earlier and clarified, there's a difference between sadaqah and hadiyah. Sadaqah is someone is in need. He does not have food to eat. What you give him in the circumstances, sadaqah. He is miskin or fakir or dhu hajatin. What you give him, liyasudda hajatahu, that is sadaqah. But as for hadiyah, it's a gift. There is no sign of need for that thing especially in him. But you say, this man. Let me give him a gift, something to show genuine love and concern for him. That is Hadiya. The Prophet would accept Hadiya, alayhi salam. But he will not accept Sadaqat. He will not accept Zakah. Not just him, himself and Ahlul Bayt, radiallahu anhu. I think this is a convenient place to stop today. We covered two chapters. Bismillah. The next chapter will be Babul Haya, the chapter about being modest. We usually translate Haya to mean shyness, but I think modesty fixes it more. Or we can combine modesty and shyness, inshallah. That will be in our class tomorrow morning. May Allah keep us till then and beyond. We can take a few questions that we have now, Abu Abdurrahman.
Salawatullah alaykum ya Shaykh.
Ameen wa iyaakum Abu Abdurrahman.
The first question here is, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Please, what is the ruling concerning giving and accepting end of the year ampa or package from employer or Christian friends or customers and vice versa?
Well, the scholars spoke a lot about this. The belief, our aqidah, our creed behind what we do, they affect what we do so much. If we understand that the belief of the non-Muslims regarding the New Year celebrations, they are things that contradict our religion. In Islam, we only have two Eids, two feasts, two celebrations, two festivals, two merry-making periods, that is Eid al-Kabir and Eid al-Adha, that's all. Any other thing does not concern us. Any other thing does not concern us. So feasting, enjoying, mutually exchanging gifts and all of these we know during Eid, the times that we Muslims are allowed to do them is during Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. So if a non-Muslim is celebrating their own first of January or something, this is not something that concerns us. Our own first month of the year is Muharram, not January. The January year and month and name is connected to idolatry. No concerns a Muslim in that. I think the problem with us is that we don't tell people about our religion. We don't tell people about our religion, and that's bad. It doesn't have to be at the time of the celebrations. It should have been coming before the time of the celebrations. That is the appropriate thing to do. But if you have been telling them and they know, maybe during Eid al-Kabir, they know that, hey, this is our own feast. We don't have any other one apart from this. And we don't celebrate with people upon their religion. We don't. So if we do this, we know that we are already drawing the lines. And that doesn't stop us from mutually living in peace with people. We are just defining our own persons and our own lines of conduct in society. So these kinds of gifts are not for us. They are not gifts for the people of Islam. The people of Islam should not give it, saying that they are doing end of year or beginning of year. Don't give it and avoid receiving it. One good way to make that happen is keep an enlightenment on this. Make it general. Make people know you. Make people know what you will accept and what you will not accept. So that when they come with what you will not accept, there is a previous discussion. Hey, you know that I will not accept this. But unfortunately, many Muslims now think like non-Muslims because of their relationship with non-Muslims. These days, many Muslims read, think. Before they read one thing about Islam, they have read 15 about strange ideas. So they unfortunately begin to take those strange ideas and behave strangely too, because the ideas motivate the actions. That's why some of our brothers will not see anything bad about that. I saw some of our brothers having New Year celebrations, their own companies. You are a Muslim, your company is telling some people Happy New Year. Are you sure you are okay, oh my brother? You have a company and your company is saying Happy New Year to non-Muslims. That is not appropriate. The year is a year that's not recognized by Islam. It is connected to kufr and shirk, disobedience to Allah. Even in its name, the name of the January, so is it not picked from the god Janus? We know. So why participate? Why congratulate people upon something like that? The asul of it is shirk. So it is not proper. We can educate people about it. Do you think the Jehovah's Witness will feel sorry to say no, not to accept Christmas gifts? Because the Jehovah Witness, and they are Christians like themselves. If a Christian will be bold not to celebrate Christmas and New Year, how about you, Muslim? How about you, Muslim? May Allah protect us. So let us be Muslim enough to be able to honorably reject those things. May Allah protect and forgive all of us.
Another question is, Assalamu alaikum. Please, I have a neighbor and I often share food with him, but he seems to rely on my help instead of seeking employment. Is it wrong to reduce my food sharing to discourage dependence and encourage him to find a work?
I think the two of them do not contradict themselves. Encouraging him to find work, it does not contradict your continued to support him. Let us remove this thinking of some, I don't want to say they are not communist. The modern day economic approach to life, what is it called? The businessman approach to everything. You can encourage him, in fact, help him find a job, a good job, where he will get something good for himself and family. And at the same time, till he gets a job, you support him. There is nothing wrong in that, oh my brother. A man came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and he said, he asked this same question that I am asked. I have a brother. I'm the one supporting him, providing him food and clothing and everything. Work is just there. Should I stop? The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la'allaka turzaqu bihi. Perhaps the one that Allah is giving you because of him. So if you stop giving him, Allah can stop giving you. That's why I said, it does not contradict one another. You're helping him at the time he does not have, and you're helping him to find a job. They do not contradict. He finds a job and he's on the job. You make sure he's on the job. You make sure it's a good job, not something where he will find difficult. I'm saying, you even go to Angola, he's not. Get him a good job. Get him a good job. Get him something useful, beneficial. And expect your own rewards from Allah. And like the Prophet said in that hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la'allaka turzaqu bihi, perhaps you are being provided for because of him. What that means is that maybe, if you stop helping him, your own wealth too will shrink. So a better thing to do is find a job for him, a good job for him, help him be able to stay on the job properly. If you like, you can gradually stop what you do. And if you like, you can continue. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he starts a good deed, he does not stop it. Alayhi salatu salam. The Prophet starts a good deed, He continues and he does not stop. Meanwhile, you are giving him for the sake of Allah. So it doesn't mean you should stop. If you stop after getting him a job, okay. But avoid stopping when he does not have an alternative means. Encourage him. Don't feel too superior, because the fact that he is accepting it from you is a favor of Allah on you. Don't feel too superior. And what Allah pays you back for your giving him is more than what you are giving. So why do you want to feel too big? So be humble. Encourage him. Help him get a job. That's okay. If you stop there, no problem. But avoid stopping before you get him something for himself. More so if you are giving him, does not burden you, does not bring any sort of a burden to you. My brother, continue to give him and encourage him by the same stroke to be able to get a job and earn for himself, because the best of what a man puts in his mouth are the earnings from his own sweat. May Allah protect all of us and provide for all of us. Never make us people who depend on others for sustenance. About Rahman. There's a question here. Can we hear me? There's a question here because I can't hear Abu Rahman. What does it mean? It's after Taslim and Dua. The person said, what does it mean when it is said in the commentary of this book, Lam Ajidhu? I think you are talking about the print of Maktabatu Al-Hadi Al-Muhammadi. And he has said that regarding Hadith 595, the meaning of Lam Ajidhu is this Hadith only occurs in Al-Adabul Mufrad. Many of the rest of the Ahadith, they occur in Al-Adabul Mufrad. They occur in other books of Hadith. Al-Imam Al-Albani himself, when he mentioned this, he said, Laysa fi shay'in min al-kutub al-sitta. That hadith, that's the print, your own print said, Lam ajidhu. Sheikh al-Albani said, Rahimahullah, Laysa fi shay'in min al-kutub al-sitta. That hadith is not in any one of the six books, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Sunan Abi Dawud, Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Sunan ibn Majah, and Sunan al-Nasai. I hope that it is clear. Lam ajidhu, yani he has not seen it. Lam ajidhu fi ghairi hadha min masadir al-hadith. Apart from this source of hadith, I have just seen it here. That hadith of Anas, that Anas ibn Malik would say to his children to give themselves gifts so that their relationship is helped. I hope that that is clear, inshallah.
Amen.
Abba Amir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
And there's a question, two questions here. I'll combine both.
Okay.
The first, it reads, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Shaykh. What if I give a gift, then expect that Allah will surely repay me? Is that wrong? And the second one reads, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May Allah preserve Shaykh upon goodness. When given gifts slash sadaqah, can one do it having it at the back of one's mind that it's because one is expecting more or a goodness from Allah?
Yes. If the intention is expecting goodness from Allah, this is a good intention. It's a good intention that you have gift given, and you are hoping and anticipating that Allah will give you more. Yes, this is good. Very nice. Very nice. This should come behind all our good deeds. It should come in your salat, when you observe salah. Hope that, mashallah, this salah Allah will reward me. When you make zakah, keep it in mind, mashallah, it's zakah, Allah will reward me. When you fast in Ramadan, you hope that this Ramadan I'm fasting, inshallah, we hope for good rewards with Allah. That was how Allah has described the people of Iman. يَرُجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ وَيَخَافُونَ عَذَابَهُ. They hope for his mercy and compassion, good rewards, and they are afraid of his punishments. So if you do a good deed, hope is good. That's why he said regarding fasting, Imam Sawma Ramadan, إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا. He fasts Ramadan out of Iman that it has been legislated by Allah, وَاحْتِسَابًا, and in anticipation of good rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone offends you and you forgive him or her, as the case may be, ihtisaban, I want Allah to forgive me too. This is a very good thing to do. Likewise, so when you give gifts, hope, anticipate, look forward to goodness from Allah. That is one major thing about our intentions for doing good deeds. We should hope that Allah will reward us. It is that hope too. It is from the A'mal al-Qalbiya. That's another good deed. Hoping that Allah will reward you with goodness is another good deed. The both of which will find their good rewards with Allah on the day of Qiyamah. It's proper, even Allah. It's appropriate, it's encouraged. It may even be compulsory. Yeah, it's up. Yeah. Allah forgive all of us. I hope that is clear, Abu Amir.
Ma'am, Shaykhana.
Can we have one more question? We consider your last for today.
No. There's one question here. It's very, very long. Perhaps we save it for tomorrow.
Take a short one so that we can call it a day because we spent the time so long.
No, the question here is, can someone slaughter a ram to show gratitude to Allah for protecting him from evils, such as someone
yes.
who escaped kidnapping attack?
Yes. You can slaughter a ram. You can slaughter a ram to thank Allah. It is from the actions of shukr. And Allah had said, "Imalu ala Dawuda shukr." Act. Show actions of goodness regarding gratitude. You can slaughter a ram. You can. It is a major ibadah to Allah directly. Allah, I thank you. You can slaughter a ram. You can feast over it. Feasting itself is from it. It's from the deeds of thankfulness to Allah. Feasting. That is why we are feasting over marriage. That's why we are feasting over building a house. That's where we feast over traveling from a journey, returning. Alhamdulillah that I returned safely. There was a plane crash in Azerbaijan or Kazakhstan. 2-3 days ago, there was another one in the US. I went and came back. Allah, I thank you. Slaughter a ram. Invite your brothers to partake in it with you. Yes, it's from the deeds of goodness. Slaughtering the ram. By way of thanking Allah. That's why if it is done for any other than Allah, it is shirk. It takes a person out of Islam. May Allah protect all of us.
Ameen.
Jazakumullah khair. And there's a question here for myself. Should I take the last one for myself? Or I should leave the last one to be
able? No.
There's a question here. Assalamu alaikum. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Are all the sallallahu alayhi wa sallam written after the name of the Prophet in the books of Ahadith added by the scholars of Ahadith or the scribes or the Sahaba? Ridwanullahi alayhi. It depends on where it occurs. If it occurs from the statement of a companion cannot mention the name of the Prophet without salat and salam on him. A companion cannot say, Kala Rasulullah, and start talking. We are the ones who do that one in the later times sometimes because of our audacity. You think Abu Dharr, you think Abu Huraira, you think Anas, Amr ibn al-As, Abdullah ibn Umar, Ibn Mas'ud, Ibn Abbas. They will mention Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not possible. So it depends on where it occurs. If it occurs in the matching of the statement and you see it like that, yes, that is how that companion has said it. Now, if it occurs in maybe a statement of Abi, talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they too they will not mention the Prophet without saying sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has come like that. They write it down. I saw the manuscript of Sunan Abi Dawud by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, his own copy with his hands, rahimahullah. The same thing applies. You see sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on it. The manuscripts of Sunan Abi Dawud by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, his own copy. In those days, you write down your own copy of the book. I've also seen his writings on Bulughul Maram. He writes sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it depends on where it occurs. If it occurs within the statement of a Sahaba, then it is from the Sahabi. If it occurs from the statements of the Tabi, then it is from the Tabi. But one common thing the scholars of Hadith did was they wrote sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. If you find that it was not written, because Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was asked about it, if we write the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should we write sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nearby it, a question or something like this? And what the response was that some scholars, they will write the name and say the salat on him with their mouth. They will write his name like Muhammad or Rasulullah, but they will now say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with their mouth. Some combined between the two. Some now wrote it down too. So that if those of us who come later, gafla, nonchalance, will not make us mention his name, alayhi salatu wasalam, without saying sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam on it. So it depends on where it occurs. If it's from the companion, yes, companion. Because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that al-bakhilu man dhukirtu indahu wa la yusallimu alayya, the truly stingy individual is the one who I will be mentioned before him and he will not say salatu wa salam on me. It will also be a violation of that injunction from Surah to Al-Ahzab when Allah says, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. So Abu Sumayya, it depends on where it comes. If it comes from the statement of the companion, yes, companion. If it's maybe from the scholars explaining a hadith, they happen to mention the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They wrote it down. But they were saying it in their mouths too. They were saying it with their mouth. That's why I usually advise people in your WhatsApp messages, when you mention the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, write sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Perhaps your reader, when he reads it, he will read it together with your sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You would have helped him to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You earn rewards from his own saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Avoid saying S-A-W, the scholar spoke about that. Don't say S-A-W and all of these short forms. Allahu alam. I think that will suffice regarding that matter. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
Ameen, ameen, wa iyaakum abaa amir.